Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
I want to look at a statement that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. But as we look at this verse, probably not going to draw some thoughts from the part of the verse that we normally draw thoughts from. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. These are some hallmark passages when we deal with the Holy Spirit, because there are many people who don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit, but God gave us the Spirit. That's one part of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit gave us God's Word. So we shouldn't shirk away from it just because some people want to try to say one thing or another. Just let the Bible speak for itself. But I want you to notice a phrase at the end of that verse. Paul frequently likes to ask rhetorical questions like what? And so he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Well, look at that last phrase, you are not your own. You know, I'm not my own. I have been bought with a price. I have a different name. My name is Christian. I wear the name of Christ because I have put on Christ in baptism. And in doing so, He now has ownership of me. And I want to prove this to you. And hopefully, if you are a Christian, then God has ownership of you and you don't have ownership of your body. See what I mean here? Number one, go with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. I want to look at our eyes. I want to look at our eyes because our eyes, well, they're not our own, at least in this sense. And with our eyes not being our own, our eyes should not be guilty of the lust of the eyes. Now notice here, 1 John 2, 15 through 17, we'll put it in context. John is going to give us descriptors of sin. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, three categories, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. With those three categories, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, we can identify every sin, and at least one of those three, if not all three of those, every time we look at sin. But you see, if I am not my own, then that means my eyes are not going to be lusting after the flesh. I'm not going to be looking for fleshly desires. Couple that with Hebrews 12, verse 2. I'm going to be looking unto Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our salvation. Number one, my eyes, they're not my own. And they shouldn't be your own as well. But let's go stay on the face. Number two, I want to look at the ears. You know, the ears are not our own. Go back to the book of James. James chapter 1. Gary was in James 4 a moment ago doing a wonderful job. I want to go to the first chapter of the book of James. Notice here James 1:21. James says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Well, number two, if my ears are not my own, then that means I better use them to receive the engrafted word. We know Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People don't just all of a sudden have faith if they've never heard about God. If they've never heard the gospel preached, if they've never read, they don't have faith. But faith comes by hearing. That's why faith is the first part of how to be saved. You got to have faith, but you got to believe. But it all starts with hearing the word of God. So in Romans 10, Paul uses that, and we'll wind up there again. But Paul uses that descriptor of how we're supposed to go out and preach so that people can hear. My ears are not my own. I need to hear. Notice what he says in James 1:21. I need to get rid of some things. Lay apart all filthiness. Well, that's going to help because my eyes are not my own, so I'm not going to be looking for filthiness. But I also don't need to be listening to filthiness. Some people will tell you, well, I don't watch anything bad. But they'll listen to stuff that's just as bad, if not worse. You don't need any of it. He says, superfluid of niceness you receive with meekness. That's the attitude when we approach God's word, is we are meek and we are humble because it is able to save our souls. So number two, our ears are not our own. Let's once again stay at least around the face and talk about the tongue. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, if you will. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, because my tongue, it's not my own either. But watch what I need to do with my tongue. In fact, we'll pick up, well, a lot of this chapter's one or two sentences. We'll pick up verse 14. We henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So Paul is depicting the enemy, but here's how we act, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, or being sincere even, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Number three, my tongue is not my own. I need to use speech. And in doing so, I am speaking the truth in love. Now, how do you do that? Well, sometimes it's paying an honest compliment. Sometimes it is correcting people when they are in the wrong. I grew up, tough love is still love. And the Bible says that God chastens those whom he loves. So if he is telling you through his word that, hey, you don't need to be doing this, he's saying it out of love because he doesn't want you to spend eternity separated from him in hell. I'm reminded of 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, the first three words Paul says to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, all longsuffering in doctrine. The late Brother Marshall Keeble, he was fond of saying on that verse, it means preach it when they want to hear it and preach it when they don't want to hear it. And a lot of times we do preaching when they don't want to hear it. People who are out there lost in a life of sin, very rarely have I had the experience. Maybe Gary, he's been preaching longer than I have. He can prove me wrong. But a lot of times when people are out there lost in sin, they don't want you to tell them that they're out there lost in sin. But I need to tell them when they need to hear it and tell them when they want to and when they don't.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
I must, number three, be speaking the truth in love because my tongue is not my own. Number four, let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Leave the New Testament for a moment and see what the wise man says. We look at our hands. Number four, our hands, they're not our own. Instead, we should be doing the will of God. We should be working for the Lord. Notice here Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. He says, whatsoever thy hand findest to do, do it with all thy, or do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. It's really hard once you're lying flat on your back in that casket to still go to work the next day. You just can't do it. You can't invite other people to come to church after you've taken your last breath. We must work whatever your hand finds to do. Labor for the Lord. That's what Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 15:58. For as much as you know as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, with our hay event, we made these bags for the nursing home residents. And in doing so, we were having fun, and the kids were talking, and we were talking, and had a little assembly line going on. And in the process of about 50 minutes, we made all these 210 bags. But in the process, we were working for the Lord. And we might never see the results of what that does for the people that we give it to. Or when you cook a meal for somebody, or when you just go visit, or when you call them, or when you text them, or send them a card, or have a Bible study, or invite them to a meeting, whatever the case may be. We need to use our hands to work for the Lord because they are not our own. Let's look at our last one, number five, and go to the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We started towards the top of the head. We wind up at the feet. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. I told you we'd be here eventually. My feet are not my own. Notice here Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Back up to verse 13. Verse 12. There is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, or as all that submit to him in obedience. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And then that's why he says how beautiful it is those that go and preach. He says, but they have not all obeyed our report. Isaiah even said, Lord, who has believed our report? Isaiah 53:1, that suffering servant passage. He says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it all starts when we go preach. Because when we preach, then they hear, then they believe, then they call upon him in obedience. Acts 22:16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. All in the same verse shows you that's what calling on the name of the Lord means. Means to be obedient to him. See, my feet are not my own, because I need to use them to travel around to preach the gospel to other people. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, when great persecution arose against the early church in Jerusalem, they were scattered. Christians were scattered everywhere preaching the gospel. Everywhere they went, they stopped and told people why they had to leave home and why other people should want to hear about their message. See, it all kind of works together. There's not one on this list where you get to choose, well, the eyes are mine, but my ears are not. No, they're all the Lord's, and we need to use every part of our body and every part of our abilities in his service to further his kingdom. Our feet are not our own, hands, tongue, ears, and eyes. I am thine, O Lord, as one of the songs sings, and you make him yours. You can say, I am thine when you become a Christian, realizing that you'll go down that watery grave, you come out a new creature, you leave that old man in the grave. But alive things don't belong in the grave. So you die to sin and you come out a new life, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. You know, friends, sin is not a beautiful thing. Sin cost Jesus his life when he gave himself upon the cross to save us from our sins. We note that from Romans 5:6 through 10. And we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. Which one would you choose, death or eternal life? I know which one I would choose. And we're able to choose eternal life because of Jesus, the great physician, who came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He has the prescription, he has the cure, and may we always turn to Jesus Christ, the great physician for our cure of sin. Please visit us at internationalgospelhour.com, and thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and have a good day. From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. While on the Sea of Galilee several years ago, I learned something interesting, how the cold air from the mountains would come down as the warm air from the valley would rise up, and of course, as they met, that would make a lot of storming upon that sea. Couldn't help but to think of Jesus calming that sea from Mark 4:37 through 39. When the great storm of wind arose and the waves beat into the ship, it was now full. Jesus was in the lower part of the ship, asleep. When they awakened him, they said, Master, do you not care that we perish? But Jesus did care. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. Friends, Jesus could control the sea. He can still our storms in life if we'll turn to him in obedience. Visit us at internationalgospelhour.com, and thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and as always, have a good day.